I don't know, but I've been told uranium ore is worth more than gold. I sold my cad, I bought me a Jeep. I got that bug and I can't sleep. Uranium fever has gone and got me down. Uranium fever is spreading all around. With a Geiger counter in my hand,
I'm going out to stake me some government land.
Uranium fever has gone and got me down.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a very, very special episode of Uncanny Treks. That's right. It's Uncanny Treks covers all of Fallout Season 1. Matt thought we might just be talking about the pilot, but nope, we're talking about the whole bloody thing. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, why did you make me watch this?
I'm just proud of you, Bob, for watching all the episodes and not just the pilot. When I told you to watch it, I figured you just watched the pilot and told me it was stupid, but I'm glad you watched the whole thing through.
Hey, I watched the whole thing through and told you throughout that it was stupid, because I'm a good friend.
Well, Bob, I have played most of the modern Fallout games. There's Fallout 1 and 2. They were on, like, old school computers. It was RPG stuff. That was before our time. But the more modern ones, Fallout 3, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 76. And then there's a phone game called Fallout Shelter. And all of them are pretty good. I mean, it's good stuff for the most part, although New Vegas is usually considered, like, the best of all of those.
Yeah, that's the one I've heard hyped for, what, 15 years at this point?
Yes.
Maybe not that long. 10 years, maybe?
And the strangest thing, though, is that one was not made by the usual publisher, Bethesda, so it doesn't get, like, as many re-releases or remasters or anything like that. You know, it's kind of on its own.
Well, so here's one fact you might find interesting. So I didn't really like this. Matt did. That'll be obvious as we keep going. But partly just because I felt like fighting, but also partly because I did actually want talking points for today's episode. I put out on Facebook last night, and I was just like, really? This is it? This is the show everybody likes? This is the video game franchise that I've heard for like 15 years is one of the best video game franchises of all time? Like, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah, I saw that douchebag comment. Let me play.
Yeah. Well, an old friend of mine from college who I was really delighted to hear from, irrespective of opinions about TV shows, somebody I haven't talked to in almost 20 years, chimed in and said that my complaints about the show did mirror complaints he had heard from people who really liked the first two Fallout games, who were dissatisfied when Bethesda bought the franchise and sort of transformed it. So I don't actually think, when I say boring, I don't mean like lacks action. I just mean lacks things that I find interesting. So I don't know if I actually would like the first two Fallout games, but it was interesting that, you know, to an intelligent player of Fallout, that what I was saying did sound like the people who really liked the first two games.
Yeah, the graphics, I can't do it, Bob. I just can't
that's
do
fair.
It.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, Matt, that's my reason for hating this TV show, the CGI. I just can't do it.
I mean, that's literally like saying, I like Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2. It really got bad at Grand Theft Auto 3. I know you understand that.
I will say, I don't know if you remember my old friend Paul, but I do have fond memories of playing Grand Theft Auto 1 on his, like, I think it was his PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Well, wow. But comparably to Grand Theft Auto 3, come on, Bob.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. I don't know if I ever really played 3 much, but I played your Vice City all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. So, yeah, but I'm going to say, Bob, the whole thing about the games is that you're able to explore the wasteland, and you usually start off as a vault dweller. You're seeing, you know, someone coming out of the vault, and you're just introduced to a world that you don't know a lot about. And every game usually takes place in a different part of America, so you're not running into the same people, same things. You may run into some of the same, you may run into some of the same monsters or whatever out there, but everything's a little different.
Would you describe it as like a point-and-click adventure game, or is it something a little different?
Oh, no. It's not point-and-click adventure at all. It's a role-playing game where you have a first-person view, you're going around, you carry a gun, you shoot, you know, it's the same.
Okay.
You're meeting characters and you are interacting with them. You know, they're voiceovers, so you're hearing the characters, you don't have to read all the text, which I think Fallout 1 and 2 didn't have. I don't remember if they had voiceovers or not. But the other big thing about Fallout is, and there's a specific quote from the Ghoul in the series. He says, "The wasteland has its own golden rule. Thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit every goddamn time. That is Fallout. Because once you leave that vault, you can do whatever you want to do. You can follow the main quest if you'd like, but there's about a trillion other things you can do. And you get to like build your character how you want to do. If you want to, you know, have them be a raider, make them a raider. If you want to, you know, let them run around butt-ass naked through the woods. Whatever you want to do, you can do in this game. And I think that's the attraction.
It's interesting because I really didn't like that line. I just thought it was a bad line. But when you say it like that, it's like, oh, I don't like it because it's like a self-aware line that's like winking at something I don't know.
Oh,
that's why. I mean, I also just don't think it's a very good line. But that's interesting that there's layers to this line.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what it's referring to, in that you cannot enter a Fallout game and think you can just go from point A to point B. There's way too many things that'll just, you'll get sidetracked. You'll end up in a fucking amusement park overrun by, you know, some guy that thinks he's ruling the world. Or one time you like run into this guy who thinks he's a superhero, and every day he goes and he beats up robots in this fake town. I mean, it's just weird shit that's just out there.
So I was going to ask, like, are the Ghoul or like Lucy or Maximus, are they characters in any of the games, or is it just very similar world? And, you know, they're Lucy and the Ghoul and Maximus are like broadly comparable to characters you might play, but they're not. They don't have any like precedent in the games themselves.
No, these characters are completely made up for the show. But I mean, there are vault dwellers, there are ghouls, and there's people who are on the Brotherhood of Steel. I mean, those are options for you to become one of those things when you go out into the Fallout world. I mean, you can join the Brotherhood of Steel. You can become a ghoul if you drink too much radiated water. They're like the blueprints for characters you would see throughout the game, or your character you can create. Okay.
Archetypes. Okay, and then the other kind of framing question before we get more into specifics I wanted to ask you, have you watched much of Westworld?
Bob, I watched the first 3 seasons, and I tapped out early in the 4th season.
Okay, you've done a lot more than I have. I just watched the pilot and did not get a good vibe off it. And I've thought about continuing on, but have not as of yet.
And that's exactly what I thought you were going to do with Fallout, and you didn't. So good job, Bob.
The funny thing, though, was as soon as I got to the end and I saw Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's little brother's name in the credits, if I'm not misremembering, was also like the showrunner for Westworld, I was just like, oh, this is just more Westworld. And to me, it feels exactly the same. Like, the ghoul is the man in black. Instead of having the people programming the park and the people in the park, you just have the vault and the people on the surface. The Lucy's plot line feels very much to me like what they were hinting at with like the prostitute robot who was like becoming human in the pilot of Westworld. Like, I don't know. It just felt very much like, you know, Westworld, shake it up a little and do it again, if that makes sense.
Bob, you need to watch more than the pilot, because everything you just described is, like, completely wrong. But it's okay. You only watched the pilot.
Yeah. That pilot was bad.
Man. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, I can kind of see the connection that they're both, like, science fiction to a sense. But, like, I don't...
No, they're both science fiction westerns dealing with similar themes about like surveillance and manipulation, and dealing with similar broad archetypes about westerns.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, okay.
And I'll also say, I've watched the Westworld, the movie, and the sequel, Future World.
I have not watched Future
like,
World.
I like both of those a lot, and it's partially that I like those that I don't like Westworld.
So you recommend Future World?
I mean, it's not amazing, but it's a fun sequel.
Okay.
And it's also, if I'm remembering right, it has been a while since I've seen Westworld and Future World, but if I'm remembering right, Future World is the one that kind of helps set up the theory that, like, Game of Thrones is just medieval world in Westworld.
Yes. Which would be kind of cool, honestly.
Speaking of medieval things, Matt, the thing that really like broke me, I was like with the show for the first 20 minutes or so. As friends joked, it was just because of all the incest. But I was with the show in the vault for the first 20 minutes. I mostly liked it. But then the Knights of Steel showed up, and they suck so much, man. It's like both the CGI is bad, and also just there's such like a boring, tropey archetype. Like, it's saying nothing new about, like, you know, dangerous fundamentalist I hated the Knights of Steel visually and conceptually. So that was like what really soured me on the show.
You know, some people like that kind of stuff, but I'll agree, Bob. Of the three main like archetypes, that one is the weakest. Yes. Yeah, the CGI, Bob, I'm just going to pull a Flash here, Bob, and say I think that was intentional so it would look like the cutscenes from the game. That's what I tell myself.
Okay. Whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night. Well, and as will become obvious later, like, I liked Lucy okay, and I liked the ghoul, I guess, the most. But the thing with the ghoul was it just didn't fully work for me. Like, I think it was in episode 3 where he has the big shootout with the whole town.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's episode 2.
That's episode 2 when he's in Philly, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's all slow-mo. And it, like, the slow-mo of the gunfights don't work well. And then, like, his quips, like, some of his quips are good. But I would just say in general, like, the ghoul's quips are not good enough. Like, the writers, I think, should be faulted. They should have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But let's just be honest, though. If Goggins wasn't playing him, it probably would not have been as interesting a character.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They got the perfect person to play the ghoul.
Well, and here's another theory I want to lay on you. So, does the Fallout series normally do, like, the extensive flashbacks? Or do you think the writers looked at this situation and are like, yeah, the CGI or ghoul makeup or whatever we're doing to Walton Goggins, it's kind of, like, taking away the main reason. Like, you want Walton Goggins to act, right? Like, you want to see his actual face. And so
do you think...
Yeah, the man's got no nose. Do you think, like, the franchise dictated the flashback, or do you think they're like, oh, we're wasting Walton Goggins if we don't have a flashback story with
the
him?
The franchise dictated the flashback, Bob, but there is never a flashback in Fallout because it's all in the present day, and you learn about the past by finding things.
But it just wouldn't work for the TV show like it would work for the game.
No, because it would be a whole lot of just talking about what was going on in the past, and it would be very boring, so yeah. But you know, you never get a flashback in those games.
Okay. Well, and then unless there's other stuff you want to talk about before we get to our kind of awards for the show, I did just want to ask, like, I like the soundtrack. I'm not criticizing it, but I do feel like the nostalgic soundtrack was like, there was maybe too much of it. You know, sometimes it felt like 6 or 7 songs an episode, and it felt like the episodes in general were too long, and they were using the soundtrack to paper over some pretty boring, like, scenes and some pretty bad CGI fight scenes. And so, I don't know, did you get that feel? That was kind of one of my other big complaints, is great soundtrack, but used to really, like, cover up what I thought was the terrible weakness of the show.
So, the soundtrack of the game, of all the more modern games, is amazing, because it's that kind of music. And you have the Pip-Boy on your arm, the thing that she wears, and it has a radio. And as you're playing the game, you control the radio, and there's stations that people are still broadcasting from the wasteland.
So it's more like Vice City or Grand Theft Auto in that way.
Yes, the Portlandia guy, I can't think of his name, Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen.
Wasn't he a radio DJ or something, I think?
I think I did see that in the credits. I don't think I really noticed it while watching the show, but I think I did see that in the
credits. That was the point, is that there are still radio stations out there broadcasting, and they broadcast this music. It's iconic to the series because the music hasn't moved past that. They found a way to, you know, generate power that can go on forever and ever and ever, but they never moved past, like, their TVs looking like black and white and everything else. It's all still not, and the music's just stayed the same. So there's just nothing better, though, than, like, walking through the wasteland and shooting things to that, you know, swing music. Or the big band stuff.
So they're trying to recreate that feel. Yes. And at least for me, as somebody who never played the game, it just doesn't work.
Exactly. Yes. But I guess they hoped it would work, you know, but it does. You're all right, though. It doesn't necessarily translate as well without having the prior knowledge of the game.
And also, like, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I guess one other question I wanted to ask, and this is maybe a really nitpicky question, but I was chatting with my guy Noah earlier, and he kind of shared this misapprehension. I had to do some Googling around, like, episode 1 or 2 or 3, because I was confused. I just at first assumed that the nuclear war had happened, like, in the mid-60s, right? Like, the Cuban Missile Crisis had gotten out of hand or whatever. But then the actual backstory, and it seems like this is true of the games and the TV show, the actual backstory is, like, technology kept evolving into the late, I think into the 2070s, but just the cultural style never evolved. And so like Westerns and the Twilight Zone and, you know, this kind of old school country and old school kind of swing music are still the dominance.
Correct.
Is that like weird to you? I don't know. Like, cause I found a lot of other people being kind of confused online too. And maybe we're all just dumb, but like, it felt like a lot of us were confused about why would you not just have the nuclear war happen in the 60s rather than have this extra century where the style hasn't changed?
I don't know. I mean, it is weird just to think of it that way, but I guess it would be like, what if our priorities were on something different instead of what we do now, where our priorities seem to be focused on what you're talking about, the culture piece.
And I guess it does sort of make sense because they do want to have all factions have like a mix of people of different racial backgrounds and different genders and different sexual orientations. And so it makes sense that like the culture is more tolerant than ours, even if the style hasn't evolved. Right. So I guess in that sense, it being in the future and the fact that they want to have more advanced technology, although in most of the flashbacks, the more advanced technology didn't really seem to play in at all.
And plus, a lot of it is just that whole futurist aesthetic is what the games go for. Probably like that before they decided to come up with the lore. So that's fair.
I mean, yeah. That's all. The style dictated the story. Right. Not
the other way around. Mm-hmm.
Did Westworld do some of that retrofuturism stuff too? Or was it more just kind of do the Western, do a nebulous contemporary future aesthetic and keep going?
No, Westworld is like flat out set in the future. I mean, it's definitely set in the future. When one of the seasons, they do make it into the real world or whatever, outside of the building or whatever. They get away from that, and you get to see what the real world looks like, and it's what you would typically think of as the future. You know, it's got that kind of shit.
Well, maybe one day I will watch Westworld, but it's not on Max anymore, right? It's on one of the crappy like ad-based streamers.
But I can tell you this, Bob, it gets worse once they leave Westworld. That's why I tapped out in that final season.
I don't know. Sometimes I do enjoy like watching where a bad show goes, though. Yeah. Like, unless you tell me something like amazing about Fallout season 2, like I'm done. But
Bob, I guess the best way to compare it to would be The Matrix. Okay, when they're in The Matrix doing all the cool shit, you know, that stuff's awesome. But then when they're in the real like world, it's just bland and not as fun with the machine. And nobody liked that part because the sequel was basically set in that entire thing and it sucked. Mm-hmm. So to
kind of go with your point, like you're exactly right about The Matrix. But also, the Matrix movies are all, you know, everyone after the first one is terrible.
Yeah.
But they're all actually fascinating. Like, I actually really enjoy watching 2, 3, and 4, like, with friends and just being like, huh, what were they thinking? Why did they go here?
No, 4, gosh, I forgot about 4. That's...
And I think they're working on 5 now, aren't they?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, Matt, shall we move into the awards section?
Yeah, Bob, let's move into the awards section. First off, we'll talk about our favorite needle drop. So,
yeah, what was your favorite needle drop?
One of my favorite songs in Fallout, and this is one that's been in several games and in the show, is We Three. It goes My Echo, My Shadow, and Me. It's by the Ink Spots. Came out in the 40s, I believe.
Interesting. I'd never heard of the Ink Spots before this, but they're all over the soundtrack. And I think there's a song on the soundtrack where they collaborate with Ella Fitzgerald, if I'm remembering right, which was kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say I was kind of tempted to see if I could like bootleg the soundtrack for this. I wouldn't mind. Even though I didn't like how it was used in the show necessarily, I wouldn't mind having the soundtrack.
Do you have Spotify?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Spotify has it like right there.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
A little bit of Nat King Cole in there. A lot of Nat King Cole.
I actually do have a couple Nat King Cole albums and a couple Ella Fitzgerald, but I don't have any Dinah Washington. And maybe I should just get into the Ink Spots toot court. So my favorite needle drop was an old country song. I did like all the Johnny Cash, but they dropped a Buck Owens song, and I do really like Buck Owens. I have a couple Buck Owens records. They played Act Naturally by Buck Owens. That was real fun. So Matt, what was your favorite episode?
So my favorite episode is episode 6 was pretty good. It was called The Trap. You have those flashback scenes of Coop, and then you also have everything that happens in Vault 4. where this is where Lucy and Maximus end up in this vault that they become test subject. You find out the secret of that vault. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Every single vault has a reason for existing and has some sort of experiment. And part of the Fallout game is you get to find these vaults and learn what happened to each. Some of the people in the vaults are still alive. Some are dead. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter, though, because as you go in, you research, you find out what happens. And then ultimately, you're the one who decides the fate of some of those vaults, which is fun. I mean, that's just, So I like that they included an entirely different vault. You can see, these characters have been mutated, and, they also have this weird-ass cult and all this other stuff going on.
I was just thinking about it as, world-building in that episode, but it is interesting that, like you say, it's kind of mimicking an aspect of the gameplay.
Correct, yes. And then I also like the sheriff in that episode with the deputies. He's trying. There are different places in Fallout where they're you have local government basically, and it's fun just how that interaction took place because that happens a lot throughout the games. Good stuff.
Okay.
What about you, Bob? And I'm gonna go and say this. I can see what your episode is, and it was actually my favorite, but I wanted to give a different one. So
maybe I should have let you have it because I didn't like this episode that much. It's episode 4, The Ghouls, and the zombie stuff in this show, man. It really didn't sit well with me. I think it probably might have probably goes better in a game format, and it probably hit better at the time when this came out, right? Because we are talking about a franchise that's pretty old. But to me, the zombie stuff just felt real cliche, real, after Walking Dead, just Jesus Christ, I never want to see another zombie again. But there was a lot in the Ghouls episode I did like. It has, I think, my favorite Walton Goggins line of the whole show. Sometimes a fella has got to eat a fella. And I also liked that there was a lot of kind of good gore in this episode. In my memory, maybe there's a couple other scenes in between, but in my memory, they kind of move from Walton Goggins cutting off one of Lucy's fingers, which was great, kind of gross. And then it felt like you were right back in with Lucy's cousin hooking up with the one-eyed widow lady in the vault. And then, their sex getting interrupted by her water breaking, which I thought was a pretty funny gag.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. Usually the gore didn't mean much to me in the show, but in this episode, I thought it was pretty amusing.
Well, what I like about this episode is it just shows that in the wasteland, things just go from bad to worse. In Lucy's case, the ghoul basically sells her to this place, to have her, and she thinks she's in good. She meets that Mr. Handy or whatever, the big robot.
Yeah, the friendly robot.
Yeah, the friendly robot, and he actually, you find out he's going to take her organs. That's what he wants to, and it just gets worse, and then she realizes
it was a sort of good line of we're not here for anything as grotesque as sex trafficking. Yeah. It's just organ harvesting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how the whole world is in this game. I mean, you can't trust anyone. And then you see her kind of become that character of, okay, I've got to be this badass and I can't trust people. I've got to be a little rougher around the edges. Mm-hmm. I can't be this sweet person that tries to, talm my way out of things.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense. That makes sense. So, Matt, now it's your turn to hate on the show a little.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite episode?
Episode 5, Bob, is definitely my least favorite because there are some just plot elements that I found really dumb. The first thing is that Maximus is in his armor and his squire takes out his power core. And then the suit just stops functioning and he can't get out of it. That was so dumb. That's...
Can I disagree with you here? As somebody who hates the Knights of Steel, that was really satisfying to me because it made the Knights of Steel look really useless and really terrible.
Yeah.
So I was actually on board with that.
It was so dumb. You can't tell me they don't have some built-in fail-safe to get out of that machine if the power core goes out. I hated that.
Matt, if they could have a fail-safe, they could have better CGI, I'm just saying.
Well, and it reminded me, and the weird thing is too, it reminded me of a show... I don't remember if you've... the Sci-Fi Channel had a series, I believe it was just called Oz, maybe, I don't remember, but it had a...
Not the prison show.
No, not the prison show. It was a Wizard of Oz spinoff type thing. And what was the woman's name? Zoe Deschanel, who looks a lot like Lucy in this case. she meets the Tin Man, and that was the Tin Man's fate. He was a guy trapped in a metal suit.
And this had nothing to do with the movie where James Franco played a younger version of the Wizard.
Oh, right? No. That's all. Okay. This is like way before then. This is probably in 2010, maybe somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of this show. The trope of the suit getting frozen did feel like it came from something.
And that's what
That's
what it reminded me of. I wasn't sure what the something was. Lucy's like, you know, didn't understand the history of the world at all. And then Maximus will tell her nothing about anything that's happened in the last 200 years. So he's just like, okay. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
We'll get to this, Matt, but that's because Maximus is terrible.
Yeah, and then there's the standoff, Bob, with the cannibals. They tried to make that high intensity, but it was lame. I mean, we knew that. You saw that coming a mile away. But overall, that was the weakest episode of the lot. What about you, Bob?
Mine, I'm just going to say the pilot. Wasn't actually the worst in terms of quality, but it was the longest. Oh, my God, it was so long. And in general, overlongness is a problem with this show. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with the pilot. Dear God.
Yeah. So, Bob, when it comes to favorite character, I've got to go with Goggins the Ghoul. You know, it's just... He's a great character,
I'm going with the Ghoul too. I mean, how can you not go with Goggins?
Yeah, best character. I mean, this, and I feel like if he wasn't being played by Goggins, I don't think this series would be as popular. I think Goggins carried that character and a lot of this show.
I'll go ahead and spoil my least favorite, which was to say I hated the Knights, like I said before, and so I just hated Maximus and Thaddeus. I was so sick of them. I didn't want to see any more of them. And I didn't think like Lucy was great, but I'll give it to Lucy that, you know, vastly better than Maximus and Thaddeus.
Oh yes, 100%. Yeah, that's why I went with Good Ghoul as my favorite. Now, my least favorite character, Bob, was Moldaver. Because I don't understand her character. I don't know why she's still alive. I'm assuming she was probably frozen and then came out of... That's the only thing I can think of.
Although her character isn't really set up as having access. Or at least, they don't get that specific. But yeah, her general, like, kind of sort of commie, sort of not character. It doesn't seem like she would have access to suspended animation, but whatever.
She was a strange character. I felt like she played too big of a role to not have... any more backstory or anything else explained about her. She seems to know everything.
This wasn't such a big deal for me as the show went on, but another thing I did dislike about the pilot was it felt like at the end of the pilot that they expected you to know who Moldaver and the Doctor were and to like be impressed or to care.
Yeah, and you don't.
And yeah, I was just very annoyed. And so... I just assumed that they were characters, like at least like fixtures in the game lore that people knew, but it sounds like they're not.
No.
It sounds like they're just, okay. So that wasn't even like a hint at something else. It was just weird writing.
Oh yeah, you could watch the show and not have never played the games and you still understand everything going on. I mean, as long as you paid very, very close attention to everything. I mean, the setting is pulled from the games, of course, but the characters are all brand new and...
Yeah, I actually didn't mind Moldaver as a performance, but I see what you're saying about it being the most incoherent character in a way.
Yeah, and also the actress who plays her is in the Sex and the City spinoff thing that my wife watches, and I don't like her there either. So
is that a prequel to Sex and the City?
No, it's a sequel, but it's missing the sexy one, the Samantha or whatever. So it's not my favorite.
Didn't they like kill her off screen in a perfunctory way?
No, so I think she moved to California.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not my favorite show, but I occasionally watch it with her. You know, not a huge fan.
Well, Matt, I've given the show a lot of crap, and I think it deserves all of it. But I will say, I did like the soundtrack, and then I do, you know, kind of like you were saying that the show wouldn't be anything without Goggins. But I also think beyond just Goggins, like the show did get some great character actors. I think you got to give it credit for that. So we have Kyle MacLachlan playing Lucy's dad. We, of course, know him from Twin Peaks. He's Coop. We have...
No, Bob, I know him from Showgirls. What are you talking about?
From Showgirls, yes. And from Showgirls. And from Dune, Matt. And from Dune.
How can I forget Dune?
He's the Kasach's Haderach. We've got Mackety Williamson, who I don't know if you remember him, but he's the bounty hunter who frees Walton Goggins at the end of the first episode. He's a character in Justified that I really like, Limehouse. So I'm delighted to see him working. We've got Michael Emerson playing the doctor in episode 2, who gets beheaded. We've got Michael Rappaport playing the knight that Maximus kills. We've got Dale Dickey playing the old pawnbroker. You might remember her as the meth head from season 2 of Breaking Bad, who's trying to get into the ATM.
Yeah.
I liked all of these actors a lot, so it was kind of nice to see them. So of these, Matt, the non-Walton Goggins character actors, who was your favorite?
I like Michael Rappaport because he's a huge fan of all of the Housewives shows, and he's on Watch What Happens Live all the time. So when I saw him, my wife saw him, we were all like, oh, look at that, look, he's there. I like him. And he wasn't in the show much, but when he was there, he was memorable. He's exactly what I would expect a Brotherhood of Steel member to act like.
Yeah. And I will say, Michael Rappaport is a very public defender of the genocide of Palestinians, which makes me like him less. But he still is a very charming guy.
He is.
And, you know, I have fond memories of him for things. So, and also, like, you know, even though the man is carrying water for genocide, he's kind of hard to take seriously. So I don't begrudge him that.
He really
much.
Is. And I will say this too. My favorite scene with Michael Emerson is when his leg gets blown off or his foot or whatever. Oh my God. And then they put that fake thing on him. Like, just expect him to go start walking with it. If that becomes the new technology that we have to use, I'm scared to death.
I like Michael Emerson has banana flavored cyanide. Yeah. That's how I want to go out. That sounds awesome.
I bet it's like Runts. You remember the Runts with the banana shape? So.
That's funny, man. That's funny. I was tempted to go with Kyle MacLachlan because God knows I love Kyle MacLachlan, but he was like hardly in the show. And it just went from he's the perfect dad in episode 1 to, oh, he's literally like the worst man to ever live in episode 8.
I'm going to help you with this because there's a reason they did it that way. And it's because of the games. The games, they usually follow a story like that where there's something that happened in whatever vault you were in. And that's why you're going out into the wasteland to figure out, you know, something. And you get that part. But then at the same, by the time you get to the end of the game, there's usually a giant decision you have to make. Okay. And in this case, Lucy had a very big decision to make about whether she should free her dad or she should agree with,
Ghoul.
Moldavar. Believe what she was saying and that he is this horrible person, or you have to make that decision in the game. And then it changes the game after that. Usually that's kind of what they were setting up for. I even paused and explained it to my wife when it was gone. I was like, this is the thing. She has to make this decision. This is every single game. The main story usually ends like that. You have to make some giant decision. I will say this, though. I think Kyle MacLachlan only showed up because in the first episode and the last episode, that's all they could afford. He was not in anything else. He was only in the first and last and nothing else.
Matt, where did that budget go? It didn't go to CGI.
I don't know.
So I guess, my boy Noah said something like that to me, too. But what I said to him, and I guess what I'd kind of say to you, though, is that I can sort of see that, like when he said that and you see that, I can see like that characters like Maximus and Lucy and even the ghoul to an extent have these like decision points. But I guess to me what didn't work is, and maybe this is just the difference between TV and video games, or it might be that by episode 8 I was no longer paying very close attention, but it didn't really feel like there was a choice. It felt like, obviously, her dad is evil. Obviously, like, whatever Moldavar's problem, she's telling her the truth. So it didn't really actually feel like a moral dilemma to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I didn't see it that way, though. I interpreted it as she still loved her dad. But she wasn't 100% sure, like, if what... She wasn't sure if everything was true yet. She was having to make that decision on her own.
Let me just put it like this, then. I just couldn't imagine with these characters, especially with Lucy's decision, I just couldn't imagine a contemporary American show unfolding any other way.
Oh, gotcha. That does make sense. Yeah, when you put it that way, yeah, you're right. Because even in the games, like, one choice is going to be the obvious correct choice. Mm. Like, the choice most people would make.
You want to be sinister or dark or whatever, you can.
Career, yeah. Or a little more... moral ambiguity, I would say, would probably be the way to describe it. We're not talking like dark light, but there is usually a choice that's going to be more positive, you would think, have more positive outcome, while the other may benefit you more, though. That's the thing, like, in the game. Mm-hmm. Whereas on TV, you're not going to see that. I mean,
yeah, because it's like literally just like, unless I miss something, it's like Cal McLaughlin atom bombed a city for no very good reason. Like, they're just, you know.
And I will say that city, that is one setting that I think is in Fallout 2. So it's like Shady Plains or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Shady Sands.
Shady Sands. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Matt, as a related question, it felt like to me, and I'm probably not going to watch this, and maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like to me they were setting Kyle MacLachlan up as the big bad for season two. Do you think that's right or no?
Yes, that's what they're going for. And him and that power armor was so stupid. Ugh. There's so many other ways they could have let him get away. But that him, I think maybe that was written in his contract. I have to be in power armor.
Yeah, so I mean, aren't you excited about all the Iron Man style camera shots we'll see of Cal McLaughlin in season two, Matt?
Yeah, I know you hate those, Bob, but I don't know any other way they can. How else are they going to show expression when they're having to wear a mask?
Or they could just not have them wear a mask. They could go the Spider-Man 3 route, like, you know, Harry doesn't have his mask on for most of that movie, so you can see James Franco.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well.
Yeah, so I'd say my actual, since as much as I like Kyle MacLachlan, I didn't think this was a great performance or a great use of him, so I'll just give it to Mackenzie Williamson for, you know, my favorite character actor this time. So, Matt, what was your favorite moment in the show?
Well, since, Bob, you already shit all over my favorite moment, I guess I should just point it out. I really liked the Philly shootout in episode two. I liked it for a very specific reason, and it's because it was emulating something that happens in the game. They have what's called VATS, and I can't remember, mm-hmm. don't ask me what the fuck it means right now, because I can't think about that, but what it's a system in the game where it freezes time.
So that's where all this awful slow-mo comes from.
Yes, Bob. It was totally straight from the video game, but I also like that all the characters, it's the first time we get them all together. And just and then tearing apart the town and seeing all the references, like Nuka-Cola and all the different things that are happening and all the different characters. I was sad about the dog, though. I was very scared they were going to kill that dog. It did get stabbed, but then we find out that actually Walter Goggins likes the dog, so he becomes they call the dog is called Dog Meat, for that's what they call him. The dog is always named Dog Meat. That is the only actual character in this show that is in the other games. Any dog is called Dog Meat.
In the episode descriptions on Wikipedia, I think they just call the dog by a series of letters and numbers.
Yes.
Kind of like Elon Musk is children.
That's lame. The dog's name is Dog Meat, and we're sticking with that.
Okay. I like Dog Meat because I can remember that, whereas I clearly do not remember the Elon Musk child name of the dog from the episode descriptions. Oh, man. So, Matt, I do think that shootout is terrible, but I guess it maybe says something that my favorite moment is also either from that shootout or from very close to it, where Lucy tries to trank Walton Goggins, and he's like, that's just one drop in a whole big bucket of drugs, honey.
Yeah, that's immediately before the shootout, yes, Bob, so... You do like
it's a good line.
You do like the shootout.
I generally do think the writers failed Walton Goggins, but you know there were a couple of good lines in this show. So Matt, any regrets?
So my one regret is that Bethesda did not drop remastered versions of their better games to coincide with the release of this. Instead, they're focused on their multiplayer online Fallout 76 thing, so they can force microtransactions.
They're just trying to harvest you, Matt, like some sort of cannibal on the wasteland.
Exactly, that's what they're doing. Greedy bastards.
Well, I would just say I regret the whole thing. Hey-o.
Hey-o, Bob.
So, Matt, knowing what you know about the games, what do you expect from Season 2?
Well, they hinted at New Vegas, so if they're going
okay,
that
did
direction,
they actually say that, or did they just hint it? Because I missed it, but I wasn't paying much
you
attention.
You see McLaughlin flying away, and he's flying towards New Vegas. You see the sign. New Vegas is post-apocalyptic Vegas. There's gambling and mobsters and all that kind of stuff, so it could be fun. You want to get your gangsters in, that's where it's going to be.
Okay. Well, folks, I think the only way I'm going to watch Fallout Season 2 is if I happen to make Matt watch a lot of things in the next year and a half, 2 years that he really hates. And then I'm going to feel bad and guilty and regretful. You know? And I happen to have Amazon Prime at the time it comes out. I'll probably watch Fallout Season 2 in those circumstances, but probably no other. But Matt, I'm glad you had a mostly good time.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'll be watching Season 2 for sure, along with the rest of America. And not Bob.
Yeah, just without me. And I'm sure the rest of America will miss me intently almost as much as you miss the name Dog Meat.
Yes, Bob.
All right. Well, this has been Uncanny Tracks covers Fallout Season 1. Join us for Fallout Season 2 coverage, but probably not, or probably just Matt doing it solo. We are Uncanny Tracks. I am Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Wasteland.
Yeah, I'm going to be the Lone Wanderer, Bob. Thanks for listening.